Thanks for you.
Indeed he has. Can you imagine if we decided to count tonight? We would be here for a long time if we counted everything. And I don't think it would be possible to count everything that would come to our memory. That's why it's important for us to record things that God has done. I want to encourage you to, you can't count unless there's a tally there. And so I want to encourage you to write things down when God does things for you, because if you're like me, you're going to forget really quickly the things that God has done. In fact, even some of the big things that God has done in your lives, we are so quick to forget and be reminded of. Every once in a while, Melissa and I will take out a journal that we started a long time ago, and we'll go back and she'll say, "When do you want?" And I'll give her a year and a month or something like that. And she'll go back, and as a family, we recorded some things then of what God has done in those lives. And I'll tell you how many things I forget. A lot of those things, like, oh, I remember that. God did that. Or I'll tell you, even sometimes I don't remember that. I don't remember that thing. And how sad it is that we don't forget some of the big things and even the small things that God has done for us. And I'll tell you, when there is something to count, when there's something to look back, when there's something to see, that's how we're going to be able to hand that down to the next generation to say, look at how good God is. He has done it. And there is significance to being able to hand that down, because they'll be able to see, wait a second, God has done this. That was big. That was big for our family. I remember that. God was good. And we can count our blessings that way and see what God has done. And I'll tell you, counting blessings helps us sometimes get through dry spells when we don't feel like we're seeing God. We don't see God work. When we're discouraged, when we're struggling, we need to be able to go back and have something to count and look back and encourage ourselves. So if you find yourself discouraged tonight, I would encourage you to go home and take a little bit of time to remember. Even if you never started a journal like we did, go home and make a little list of some things that God has done for you, and remember how he's got you through those things and he's brought you through, and everything has turned out all right with that. And so count your blessings, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This obviously is a verse that many preachers probably have used today or this week concerning Thanksgiving, because it's one of the common ones about giving thanks. And even this morning, we already have used it. And so certainly a verse that will be a blessing to you as we look at what God has done. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 and verse 18 is where we're going to be at. But we're going to hop around a little bit tonight. Just going to tend to be a little bit topical tonight. I want you to see some things concerning each other. First of all, we're going to use this verse as a basis. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How would you define thankfulness? I thought about that this week. What is thankfulness? One individual made a comment that thankfulness in and of itself isn't always necessarily good. And you say, what do you mean by that? Now, he had a different bent on things, and this is not an inspired guy necessarily. But this individual made a comment that it is more of gratitude that we have rather than thankfulness. Now, again, his take on the words are a little bit different than even maybe what I would say, but it's still something worth to think about. He mentioned thankfulness sometimes can entail just something that I'm thankful for that happens for my own benefit. You know, I'm just glad that it happened. Now, I understand that the word thankfulness is a biblical word, and I would say that his definition of being thankful isn't necessarily the biblical definition. I think God's word for thankfulness has more than just consuming things upon my own lust. Well, anybody can say in life that they're thankful for certain things, and maybe they're taking it right, maybe they're taking it wrong. But what is thankfulness? Think about it just for yourself. What would your definition of thankfulness be? Well, we could say that it would be the appreciation for good. The appreciation for good. Now, what does good mean? Good doesn't always mean things that make me happy, but they might be my best. We know that that God does all things, he works all things together for good, right? Okay, now again, what's our definition of good? It's for our benefit, our best. Do we always look at everything that God does in our lives as good? We don't always look at it, but is everything that God does in our lives good for us? Yes, you need to understand that, folks. You need to understand this was good. Remember back to Joseph. We've just been studying Joseph. Think to Joseph. Was it good that Joseph was thrown in prison? Well, I could get some people saying this and some people saying that, and you'd both be right. Well, the event itself is not good to be thrown in prison. Did God use it for good? So those of you that went like this, there's your answer, okay? But being thrown in prison, is that good? Well, not necessarily. I don't want to be thrown in prison. You know, what about lied about and blamed about an adulterous relationship with somebody? Would you like that? No. Is that a bad thing? Yes. Did God use it for good? Yes. And so we even have to define good. But appreciation for good, God's definition of goodness, appreciation for what God is doing in my life. Well, that would be part of thankfulness or thanksgiving. Another aspect of thankfulness is a desire to return the good. You know, a person that's truly thankful is not just a person that is desiring to consume it upon their own lust, but, you know, in their thankfulness, they're wanting good to be returned to the person or individual that gave them the good thing. So we have this idea of thankfulness that God wants us to be in. A biblical definition of thankfulness has to do with the word gratitude. We're very grateful for something that has happened to us that has benefited us. In everything, give thanks. Now he uses the word in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the word thing, in everything. I would say that it would be safe to also use the word everyone. Everything is also everyone. Does God want us to be thankful for everyone? Well, I would say according to what everything in our lives, even though we don't refer to people as things, I would say that if you're here a part of this body, a part of this church, or maybe you're a visitor here today, as we are together as God's people, that the things would include the people that God has given to us. So in everything or in everyone, give thanks. The question tonight that I want to ask you is, are you thankful for the people that God has put around you? And very specific, I'm not just talking about all your neighbors, I'm not talking about your coworkers, maybe not even all your family, but very specifically, I'm talking about your church. Now, I want you to just for a moment to picture the people in your church. Think through the people. When I think of this church, I have a perspective up here that you don't have, and I look at you this way, and so some of you have your same seats, and so I picture you where you sit. Some of you try to mess my mind up a little bit, move around, but I have places, and so when I pray for you, you know, I can think right there, and although you're not there Monday morning, I'm praying for you because that's where you sit. And so I pray for you that way. Not always, but I pray for you sometimes that way. But you have places where you are. Picture the people that are around you, and are you thankful for them? Now remember, in everything, and I would say that everything would include everyone, in everyone give thanks. Are you thankful for each other? You know, there's the buzzword out there today of unity, and I tell you what, I'm all for unity. I think our world has twisted the concept of unity up a little bit to meet certain agendas, which I am not for, but I'll tell you this, I am for unity. And I think biblically, I think we ought to be for unity. And I'm for unity in our country, and I'm for unity to a point in our world, but I tell you what, I'm not speaking to those events tonight. I would say this, though, the body of Christ, specifically God's people, and very specifically the local body of Christ, we need to be unified together and learn to appreciate and be thankful for one another. And so tonight, this is one of the most simple messages that I've probably ever put together. I want to give you just a few things to consider and think through concerning one another and your thankfulness. Maybe it's almost, you know, so simple that you've gone over it. And we're going to look at a few examples that Paul has given. So take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 1. Now, this one is, again, very simple, but I want to give you something from this passage. Paul, oftentimes, in the beginning of his books, is very thankful for the people that he's writing to. And so, look at this. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. And let's notice what he says here in this first chapter of Philippians. I want you to notice a practice that Paul made. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So how often did Paul pray for these people? Well, that has to do with how much he remembered them. But according to what has been given here, I would say that Paul is not saying, well, I only remember you once a month or once a year, and so that's how often I pray for you. It seems to indicate, just from the way he's saying it, is, you know, every time I think of you, I get the idea that Paul is thanking the Lord for these people often. Every time this person comes to mind, I am thanking the Lord for them. And that's the first thing. Paul thanked God upon every remembrance of his fellow Christians. I tell you what, this is a practice and procedure that we all need to take. Every time you think of that person sitting next to you or behind you, do you stop? And again, you don't necessarily need to stop your actions of your day. Do you thank the Lord for those people? God, thank you for Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so that, you know, sit behind me typically in church. God, thank you that that seat behind me is always filled, that they're always there. Do you thank God for the people in your church? Now again, that is something so foundational, so basic, and that you say, why do you even preach it? But I put this out here to you because I really wonder how much it's being done. I'll tell you, you know, I'm expected as a pastor to pray for everybody in the church, and I try to do that. But I tell you what, if I don't put my mind to it, it's easy to do the work of the ministry and go here and go there, and I've got a family, and I've got a property and a home, and I've got all kinds of things going on. Is it easy to not pray for brothers and sisters in Christ? I would submit to you that it's very easy to do that, especially upon every remembrance of them. You know, being a pastor, I remember a lot of you in a lot of different ways because, you know, as I sit at my desk or do different things, your name comes up because maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're an usher, maybe you do this, maybe you do that. And so thinking through different things or, you know, leadership in some way, and I think of you, but boy, it's a challenge and encouragement to me to stop and think, boy, every time I think of you, am I praying for you? Question for you was, would your prayer greatly increase for your brothers and sisters if you prayed for them upon every remembrance of them? That's a practice that Paul did. How are we going to do that practically? Very practically, we need to make sure and remember people. It would be good for you to stop and think about your brothers and sisters on a normal basis. Think about the people in your church and what's going on. Do you know people? Do you know people's names? Well, that's an interesting question. Not long ago, I was talking with some people that were involved in a different church, and they were talking, you know, about people in their church, and something kind of hit me, you know, as I walked through. They were referring to a lot of people. They looked at each other. They couldn't remember their names. And I don't know their situations, and I can't judge them for anything like that. But that was interesting because I thought, they don't really know the people in their church very well. They don't know their names. If they don't know their names, they probably don't know what they're going through. They don't know the hardships they have. They don't know the difficulties. They don't know the highlights in their lives. So in order for us to pray for each other, we're going to have to get to know people. We're going to have to remember. We're going to have somebody that we can identify with. And I want to encourage you. Again, so basic. Why do I even need to mention this? But how many of us don't, how many of you, and I know there's a lot of people not here tonight, but of the people that come to our church on a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, how many of us know each other enough that we remember them, and then not only do we remember them, that we take the opportunity and privilege to pray for them? God, would you pray for Mr. So-and-so? And he's going through this in his life, and I know he's got unsaved relatives. You know, some of you have already asked prayer requests tonight for things to pray for. Do you remember those people through the week? I believe that God would have us to remember them because he says in everything, give thanks. And remember, I think that everything would include everyone. Everyone that God has given to us, we need to be thankful for them. Let's get a little bit more specific. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And again, this is rather topical this evening, but I think that it would be appropriate for tonight just to be very practical to look at a few things that we need to keep in mind concerning our congregation in here. And for those of you who are part of another church, it's the same thing applies in your church. You do the same thing there, and God will bless. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul is just ready to write a magnificent book concerning lots and lots of doctrine, lots of theology that is so rich and foundational to our faith in Christ. And he begins again in a similar way. He says, first, Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And so we already looked at that. So he's thanking these people through Jesus Christ for all of them. But notice what's specific. He says that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Their faith was spoken of. Now, very specifically, he's saying obviously their faith was a testimony to people. People knew. They said, you know, those people over there at that church in Rome, those people have tremendous faith. And obviously, Paul was hearing this from other people. You know, he was hearing of their faith. And he was writing to these people now, and he's saying, you know what? I hear about you. I hear about your faith, and I'm thankful for that. And I want to make an application on this evening concerning our brothers and sisters. Not so much of, you know, you having to hear it from somebody else. Not like, hey, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to wait until I hear somebody in the community talking about this person. Then I'll be thankful for that. But very practically, you know, we're looking at the issues of faith. You know, it's areas in which they have grown and were a good testimony. What faith has each of your brothers and sisters demonstrated that you can identify that maybe has been a testimony to you that you can be thankful for? You know that everybody has something about them that you can be thankful for? An area of faith that they have said, maybe it's just faithfulness in being here. You know, it'd be a blessing to somebody, and it'd be a grateful testimony of faith and thanksgiving to be able to just say, God, thank you for that person that is here day in and day out. Let me ask you a question. Is it important to be faithful to God's house? What do you think? It is. Is that something we ought to be thankful for? It is, folks. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of hit and miss people. And we've got to be thankful for that. Not that we're not thankful for those, but we got to be thankful for the people that have founded in their own lives principles that said, you know what, I need to be there. I tell you what, as a pastor, I'm thankful for your faithfulness. I'm thankful for when you're here. I'm thankful to see people out there. I love it when you're here. Every one of you that are here tonight, I'm thankful for that. I'll tell you, one of the areas that I, again, being transparent with you, something that is discouraging to me is when there's not very many people. This last couple weeks, the numbers have gone down quite a bit. And, you know, I don't know if it has to do with the virus or has to do with other things or maybe it's just sickness. I don't know, but there's been less people, and I'll tell you that I battle that. That's something that I struggle. I love to see you. I love to see the pews filled. An area of thankfulness is to say, but you know, I thank the Lord for those people that are there. It's beyond just being at church. It's other things. You know, it could be something as simple as that person's demonstration of faith through their smiling face. God, I thank you for that person that church is always happy. They always have something going on that just seems that they're a delightful person. God, I'm thankful for that individual at church. Boy, they demonstrate their faith because they're always willing to serve. You can always ask them, anytime you can ask them a question, they're willing to do whatever. And if they can't, they're going to try to work it out and help you. You know, these are very simple and practical things, but I want to tell you something. That's something to be thankful for. You know, Paul heard, he had heard, you know, this person is faithful in this area, and he says, I want you to know, church at Rome, you individuals, I want you to know I am thankful for the faith that you have demonstrated. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. You know, when was the last time you thanked one of the ladies that plays the piano? You know what? I will just be honest. I don't think that I'm hurting any of their, feelings. I don't know that we have, you know, world-renowned musicians here in our church. It takes work for some of these musicians to practice through the week. And to get things ready and to run through them. You know, I know my son, he plays the trumpet, and I'll tell you, he doesn't not practice. He's got to practice, you know, to get up and do those things. You know, and that requires faith to be involved that way. And to stop, and it could involve going to them and saying, you know what, I'm thankful that you are willing to play the piano or to play the organ or to play the trumpet or the violin or whatever else. But it at least ought to be, God, I'm thankful for the people that do this work right here at this church. What about the people that clean the building? What about the people that lock the doors, you know, before we leave? What about the people that work in the sound room? What about the people that lead the fellowships and the different activities? What about, I want you, everybody. What about the ladies that are in the nursery? What about the people that teach the classes? What about the leaders in Discovery Bible Studies that are leading those? And what about the people that are, you know what, honestly? And maybe you say, you know what, I don't know about that person. You know, maybe they don't have a specific ministry. But what about the things that they do that are a blessing, the demonstrations of faith? Paul, one of the people that we ought to look up to, he was very faithful in saying, you know what, I thank God as I remember you, and I think and I've heard of the faith, the things that you do in acts of faith, I thank God for you. What a blessing it is. Can you imagine if people stopped coming? You know what, if Carrie stopped coming right here in the third row, honestly, one person right there, now of course he has a wife, so it'd be with her, but let's say Carrie was alone, he's right there. You know what, if we had at least numbers before the virus, you know, we were getting close to 100 before, and now they've dwindled a lot, but, you know, let's say with that, you know, what if one person left our midst? Would that be a big deal? Well, absolutely it would, but right away you can say, well, it wouldn't be, but I'll tell you what, one by one. Now again, I submit to you that just missing one is a big deal. But understand, the mentality of some people is just, you know, well, they're not going to miss me, or just one person, we're not going to miss them. But I tell you what, one by one, if people are not here, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. But the same thing is true, not just with attendance. The same thing is true with, you know what? We notice this, and there's nothing negative about any musician that doesn't play. But we notice a difference when one of our musicians is not playing. We've missed Skip on the organ. And I'll tell you what, I notice it. I notice when there's no trumpet, you know, I praise the Lord, you know, Frank played this morning, Ezekiel wasn't there. I notice it when there's not, I love it when there's this, it's noticeable when there's, that when there's, you know, not somebody here or not somebody there, it's noticeable. From time to time, people go on vacation or they miss for certain things, but everything is noticeable. You know what? It takes a hit on the body. We need to grow careful to be thankful. Offer thanksgiving for the Christians that are day in and day out demonstrating faith. Somebody showed up to the church this week and was looking for a CD that wanted to take to somebody that wasn't here this last week. You know what? Praise the Lord for somebody that demonstrated that faith enough to show up and do something like that. Say, praise the Lord for somebody that cared about somebody else to do something like that. God, thank you for that person that is willing to do that. Because I tell you, people stop doing these little menial tasks and this church would drastically change. One by one. One by one. Things that way. Folks, I want to tell you something. I know you say, Pastor, what kind of a message is this? I want to tell you something. If we can't get this, then we're not going to have a church. We've got to be thankful for people. Be thankful for people, not only to the Lord, but I would encourage you, then go to that person, be thankful to them. You say, I'm so thankful that you are here doing this. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for what you do. I'm thankful that you do things that maybe nobody knows. Maybe you do this, maybe you do that. Let's be thankful for each other as a church. It's what Thanksgiving is all about. Are we thankful for the faith of our fellow Christians? I want to encourage you to find an area of faith. Now, this is kind of like an assignment. Now, next week, I'm not going to ask you if you did it. But I'm going to give you an assignment. Find an area. Take your directories, whether you write on it or not, or take a piece of paper, and find an area of faith that each one, each and every one person has in this church, and choose to be thankful for it. Choose to be thankful for it. That's a task that I'm putting it to. Now, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is under the same point. Even in little things, and this is just another, I almost made another point of this, but I decided not to make the point of this, but I just want you to see the verse. Paul does find a little thing to be thankful for, and I think Paul is finding some good things. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, here we have another time that Paul is being thankful. He says, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, did you catch what Paul is being thankful for? He says, as they had heard certain things that were going on, but they received it not just as something from man, but they received it from God, which would benefit them. This is the word of God. What he's saying here is just simply, you know what, I'm glad that what you're receiving, you're not just taking this, you know, as from a person, but you're taking this as the word of God in your life. What a blessing that people would you know. And Paul, I would say this is kind of a little thing, a big thing in an individual's lives, but he's stopping and he's recognizing, you know, I'm glad that person right there, you know, when they listen to what's going on, they don't just take it from a preacher, they take it as God. God speaking to them. You know, and I'm very thankful for that in their lives. I wonder how many things, you know, we sang the song, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." You know what? You can look around and say, I don't know. I just don't know if there's many things to be thankful for. You know, areas of faith in people's lives at this church. You know, if Paul can find little things like this, you know, this person took that, you know, as the word of the Lord. And this person, I think it would surprise us how many things that we have to be thankful for. As I look across the room here and I see people, I want to tell you something. Whether you're a normal person that attends here, or maybe you're here every once in a while, or maybe you're a visitor, I want to tell you something. There's things to be thankful for. Thankful for everything that you all do. Thank you that your visitors showed up tonight. What a blessing it is. We need to be thankful, and we need to express that to the Lord. Let's look at another thing. 2 Thessalonians. I'm giving this to you as just a template of things that, you know what, we have a responsibility in everything give thanks, in everyone give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will that you be thankful for every person that God puts in your life, especially this household here, this church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Here Paul is writing, he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet," or fitting, "because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Now there's two things that are here. What was Paul thankful for here? First of all, he was thankful for the growth in the brothers. Their faith groweth exceedingly. Have you paid attention to how God has blessed individuals in their lives and how they've grown? You think it, you look at people and you look at where they were before and how God has helped them and developed them as they've grown in the things of the Lord, and their faith has maybe been tested, but look at where they've come from and look at what God has done. Brothers and sisters, we've got to be thankful to the Lord for those kind of things. You know what? This is the kind of growth that an earthly gardener can't produce. This is something that only God can do. You realize that the growth in a person can only be attributed to a good God? It's only because of God that we grow. I want you to think back to your own selves. Look at where God has brought you from in your life. Think back to the time that you were saved. Think back to the lifestyle that you used to live. Think back to where you came from and what God has shown you. Oh, for me, I praise the Lord. It's what God has done in each one of our lives. God has brought us there. And here Paul is thanking he's thanking these people, and he's thanking the Lord for the growth that he has seen. God, you know, I can imagine Paul, he looks at these people, you know, as he's been around, and he comes back to see them, and he says, wow, that individual has grown. Look at how God, look at that man of faith that he has grown into. Look at this young lady that used to struggle with this, and look at how God has blessed. Look at that other individual over there that used to only be here every once in a while, and God has brought them around more. And look at how they have done this, or this individual used to be so, you know, so introverted, and now God has used them to do certain things. You know, I'll tell you something that's close to my heart that some of you that were at the Senior Saints activity would understand, and I am being prejudiced. I'm going to tell you something. I'm thanking the Lord for my son that has preached two times now. I thank the Lord for that. Just as it wasn't natural to me, it's not natural to my son. And he's not here. I'm not embarrassing him tonight because he's not here. But I want to tell you something. I'm proud of my son that he's willing to get up, because that's not natural for him to get up and speak on the things of the Lord in front of people. But I want to say I'm thankful that the Lord has brought him to a place that, you know, that he is willing to be used. And this time I asked him rather late. And I said, Ezekiel, would you be willing to do this? And he said, yes, sir, I would. And of course, I helped him through it. But I just thank the Lord that he's getting to that point. And, you know, that my girls, and I speak for my own children, but thank the Lord for other young people that you have seen grow up. You know, we ought to be thankful for the growth in these kids. We got to be thankful for the growth of the people that attend here. Thankful for the things that God is doing in their lives. Folks, I want to challenge you. Paul is being thankful for this. And we need to be thankful for what God is doing right here. Look around and see what God is doing. Paul recognized areas of growth, and he then thanked them. He thanked the Lord for it. He was also thankful for the charity of every one of you all toward each other that abounded. He looked at other people and said, you know what, I'm thankful for you because I see how you love other people. I see how you give to other people. Thank you so much for being a blessing to them. Boy, I'm so proud of you that you love others and that you care for others, that you're doing the work of the ministry here. Thank you so much for doing that. We need to be thankful for what other people are doing with others in the lives. You know what, are you thankful for brothers and sisters that are here at this church? I hope so. It's one of the ways in which we need to be closer. And it's one of the ways I hesitate to say during the time of Thanksgiving, because it's not just during the time of Thanksgiving. It's all the time. But what would happen to a church that would truly be thankful for other people? What's the opposite of thankfulness? I'll tell you what, the opposite of thankfulness is a mess. It's fighting and bickering. It's criticalness. And I don't like to say this, but I'll tell you, most fundamental churches in our day struggle through a lot of disunity. But as I have pointed out to you more, it's not just disunity, folks. There's a core thing with thankfulness that we can't pass up. And we see it in the first chapter of Romans. When God's people fail to be thankful, what happens? I ask you, what happens when God's people fail to be thankful? If you don't know, you can look in Romans chapter 1 and it will tell you. They begin in a downward spiral of ungratefulness, unthankfulness, no worship. They begin to forget God. They begin to look to other places. They find other people. They replace what God meant for himself and his people right there, and they find something else that is perverted, twisted, and they begin searching and searching and searching, and guess what we find? We find a world in which we live in today that's a mess. Why? Well, in Romans chapter 1, it tells us that they did not praise the Lord, and neither were they thankful. How are we going to stay where we're at today as a church that's unified, going forward together, seeking to win the lost, doing the mission that God has sent us to do? I'll tell you, one of the first things that would be the downfall of this church is if we stop being thankful for each other. We've got to be thankful for each other. You've got to love your brothers and sisters and appreciate what they are. They perfect people? Nope. Are they going to do things that you wouldn't do? Yep. Are they going to bother you sometimes at what they do? Yep. They're going to do some things, but I'll tell you what, we need to be thankful for what they do. Paul wasn't saying these people were perfect, but he said, I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for what they do. I'm thankful for their faith. I'm thankful for their growth. I'm thankful for their opportunities of ministry that they're involved in. I'll tell you what, this message was so simple tonight that I, you know, it's even hard to preach it, but I'll tell you what, it's something that I felt compelled that I had to continue to preach because if we're not going to do this, then I think that we will just dwindle away and fall apart. But we start being thankful for each other, and I think that we can stay together and we can be strong. You know, I wish our country would be thankful for each other. But we can certainly be thankful for each other in the things of the Lord. Are you thankful? And what makes it, what, you know, as we close tonight, what makes everything work and the unity that we have is not that we're all the same and we do everything the same. The unity that we share is because of one person. That's the person of Jesus Christ. None of us have been gifted above anybody else. We all have certain things, and it's only by the precious blood of Jesus Christ that any of us have anything. And we are all sinners. We're all been, you know, if you're here and you're saved tonight, we've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Everything that we have received. And so we have to be humble with that. But the reason why we have unity is because of one person, that's Jesus Christ, that gave himself for us. That gave himself for us. And that alone ought to put us in the right spot to be thankful for each other, because we're not in competition, we're not against each other, we're in the same path, we're in the same boat, we're in the same race, trying to please the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to urge you tonight, if you've never placed that faith and trust in Him, to do that, because we don't know when Jesus is going to come. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We don't know when Jesus Christ is going to return. The fact of the matter is we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You find that in the book of Romans, chapter 3. We know that there's a penalty for that, for the wages of sin is death, according to Romans chapter 6. So we're all deserving, all of us are sinners, we all deserve death, we all deserve hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. I want to tell you something, anybody can trust Him. That doesn't mean that everybody's saved. We've got to come to our faith and trust in Jesus, the work that He did on the cross, which was good enough to pay that penalty. Yes, we're sinners. Yes, we're lost. We're dying and on our way to hell. But yes, God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to die for you, completely paid the penalty, and all you have to do is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's not based on our work, it's based on His work on the cross. He did the work, and then He said, it is finished. And then He died for you. It's not our works, it's His work. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to urge you to do it tonight. I'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and in that, giving you hope for eternal life. Father, I pray that You would help us tonight. Lord, help us to be thankful people. Thankful people for each other. Lord, most churches today, people leave the church building Sunday mornings talking about that they can't believe what so-and-so did, and I can't believe that Mrs. So-and-so wore that, and I can't believe that Mr. So-and-so said this, and it's just a bunch of problems and fighting and arguing and people being critical. Lord, I pray that we would learn to be thankful. God, thank You for Mr. So-and-so that is so faithful here. God, thank You for Mrs. Mrs. Person here that does this, and nobody even hardly knows. God, thank you for those people that are so faithful to always make sure the building is clean. God, thank you for that individual that makes sure that the air is turned on, or this person that does this or does that. God, help us to be thankful. Help us to be thankful for the growth. Help us to be thankful for the things that you've given to each and one of us, Lord. And certainly be thankful to you for each other. God, I pray that we'd be thankful this Thanksgiving season. For it's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.